Hey, all you wizards. Stop studying that spell book and listen up. It's time for another episode of the Neverwinter Nights podcast, a show dedicated to the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, tips, interviews, and reviews for the community, by the community. And now, here's your host.
Hello, I'm Michelle, a.k.a. Lisa.
Hello, and I'm Trey, a.k.a. Knight Astrakhan Zelo.
Oh, have you been knighted?
Yes, I have.
And who tapped you on the shoulder with a sword?
Nasher's right-hand man, I forget his name.
Sir Neville?
Yes, Neville. I am now in Act 3, thank you. And I'll insert applause right here.
Yay! What part of Act 3 are you in?
I just got into it and saw the big, long 2-hour cutscene that got me there.
Should I see how many? Should I tell you how many times I have finished the expansion?
No.
4.
No, I was gonna guess.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, guess.
Oh, let me see. 4.
Okay, you're right.
Okay, so it's just me and. It's just me and Michelle tonight, right? I guess Jay could not make it. He had to go play with his pumpkins.
Yes. I hope they didn't give him a sharp knife.
Yeah, I think he got recruited by his wife to go help decorate for something, for Halloween tomorrow night. So what are you going to be for Halloween?
I'm going to be a gamer chick.
Imagine that.
Not very imaginative, I suppose. I am playing Lord of the Rings Online.
Really?
Yes, I tried out their 7-day free trial, and I'm digging it. It's pretty cool.
How's that
there's
going?
There's ongoing stories. There's housing. There's neighborhoods, and there's really cool quests. It's very well balanced. The world is beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. It runs really well. And I'm having a good time, I think. I might actually go for the full subscription.
Cool. So you said you've played through the expansion pack 4 times.
4 times.
What characters have you played through as? All 4 different ones?
Uh-huh. Yes, absolutely.
Need
some diversity. Okay, so far I've played a shaman, which was one of the new races. I can't remember what they're called. The elemental races.
Yes, I know what you're talking about. Gyanti.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Gyanti or something like that.
Uh-huh. And then I played a half-elf who was a rogue / invisible blade. And then I topped it off with fighter to get more power behind it. And, you know, I really, really like that character. It's multi-classed 3 times over. I mean, there's rogue, there's fighter, and then there's the invisible blade. And she has epic weapon, epic dagger uses, and perfect dual wielding with weapons. And she's pretty cool. And what was my second one? War Priestess.
Ooh.
I played that. I didn't like it so much. She's kind of wimpy.
Oh, really?
And it was really hard coming up at the end to fight the big guy, you know, the big boss at the very end. I had a very difficult time.
High magic?
Huh? And it's so, just a ridiculous amount of hit points, and he hits hard.
No. I meant the... I just forgot what you said you played.
War Priestess.
War Priestess.
Mm-hmm.
Priestess?
Well, yeah, because it was a girl.
Oh. I meant, is the War Priestess high magic?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And it was, I started out as a cleric and became a War Priestess. And the 4th run, I played through, okay, we're going to rack it up. I played the OC 9 times now. Because I'd played all the way through with the same character from the OC to the end of Mask of Betrayer. Yeah, that was crazy. From what I understand, we had quite a bit of feedback on the tool discussion last week.
Yes.
Last episode.
Yes, we did.
A lot of going back and forth between Johnny Ree, who conducted the discussion, and T. Donadio.
Tony.
Tony, who has been on our show before.
Mm-hmm.
And there's quite a debate here. And
yes,
if
I was just pulling up those comments. I guess we had lots of good comments in the show post.
Yes.
Afterwards.
Yeah, we did.
Let's see. Reading down past my ZZ Top comments.
Oops.
Actually, I guess in the comments they just say, hey, we went over to the guild and posted some comments, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
sorry, go on.
Oh, I was going to say, for those of you who want to read the discussion, that is over in the Neverwinter Nights Podcast Guild over in the BioWare forums, so you can click on it right on our website and join up.
Yes.
Get some more discussions going on over there.
And like we said before in an earlier episode, I opened up the guilds over there just to maybe give us a little bit more exposure, because there's lots of Neverwinter Nights people that hit those BioWare sites.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so do you want to talk about any of the discussion?
You know, I'm not versed enough in the whole tool set and building of areas or anything like that to really have an opinion on my own. But they did have an interesting back and forth of opinions. And
yeah, I think the difference in opinion was on understanding the difference between building with Neverwinter Nights 1 and Neverwinter Nights 2.
Yes.
And custom content in the community.
Yeah.
And if you do go over there to read the thread, get you a nice little hot toddy or something to drink and relax, because it's going to take you a while to read through it.
Yeah. It's only 4 posts, but there's quite a bit here. They definitely shared their opinions. It was interesting. You dissed ZZ Top, huh? I didn't even know they were still alive.
Oh no.
My turn.
You're gonna get Dave from California all over you.
Oh, well, you know, I give my respect to Dave because he explained the dudeness to me.
Yes.
The different elements of dude.
Read that one. That one's worth reading. Go ahead and read it.
That was on the previous episode.
Oh, was it? I don't care. Read it anyway.
Dude, I'm a surfer. Not the net thing. The mother, the ocean. Dude has a ton of meanings in my world. As many uses as the F word, it can be a whole sentence. Dude, meaning happy, or dude, meaning bummer, or dude, meaning what are you talking about?
Dude.
Or dude, meaning the waves were great. Some surfers will think lowly of one who uses dude too much. Of course, they are oblivious to their own uses of the word. I guess I mostly use it like to mean you ain't kidding or you got that right, which, if I recall properly, is how it was used in the interview. Later, dude.
And I guess that he's mentioning 2 episodes ago when we interviewed
Jason Roy.
Jason, yes. Yes. He said do it a lot in his interview.
He was quite enthusiastic, though.
Yeah, but it was great, though. I like it.
Yeah, he had a lot of energy. It was a fun interview. I enjoyed it. Oh, on to adventure packs for Neverwinter Nights 2. Wow.
So Atari, Neverwinter Nights France, .fr, has reported that Atari Europe has announced the imminent launch of Neverwinter Nights 2 Adventure Pack, which that news has been out for about a week now when we're recording this, but since our last recording.
I'm sure there's someone out there who hasn't read it. The Adventure Pack will be available exclusively via digital download, so we're talking bigger in every way, the premium module for premium module folks. The first Adventure Pack is developed by Osion Studios, entitled Neverwinter Nights 2, Mysteries of Westgate.
So do you think these will be free packs, or I'm sure we'll have to pay for them?
It's going to be a premium module.
Oh, okay. Understood.
So it's probably, you're going to have to pay and then do the digital download. It offers 15 hours of gameplay set in the Forgotten Realms, the city of Westgate, with all new storyline, professional voice acting, musical scores, and new in-game content. This sounds like it's going to be a smashing Neverwinter Nights 2 adventure. I have every premium module for Neverwinter Nights 1, so I'm sure that I will do the same for Neverwinter Nights 2.
We also had some news posted in our news forums from the Thieves Guild. Lurchman posted some news. He wanted to let us know that they have all three acts to the walkthrough for Mask of the Betrayer up, including detailed maps. And he also said we'll be adding more detail to the walkthrough shortly and updating as new info comes in.
The entire walkthrough is up. I mean, just a few days ago, I saw that they had Act 2 up.
The next day, he posted another post. Act 1 of our walkthrough has been updated, and a lot of new material has been added. All the Act 1 maps are also updated, worth checking out. And then he actually talks about the Mysteries of Westgate, which we just talked about. So that's some news that that Lurchman has posted in our forums. And so if anybody else out there has news that they would like us to announce on the show, please visit our forums on our podcast website and go to the news forum and let us know.
What's this World of Isindor officially moved? What is this?
We've got an email, I guess, from the people over at World of Isindor, that they've officially moved to the Neverwinter Nights 2 engine.
Oh, nice. And someone gave us $5?
Thomas Ford gave us $5 via PayPal, so we appreciate that, Thomas.
Thank you, Thomas.
Yes, and I was talking to Jay earlier yesterday. I think we got about $50 last week. So thank you, everyone. We appreciate that. That will help us fray some of the costs that we spend on microphones and things.
I meant to ask you.
Help us to make a better podcast eventually.
Yeah. It's already awesome, though.
You was going to ask me something?
Yeah, I was going to ask you some. I know I asked you at the beginning. Where exactly are you in Act 3?
I just came back to rescue Nasher, you know.
And oh, okay.
And then I had to kill that wraith thing.
Uh-huh.
And what's weird is I died. Just as I died, it flipped me to the cutscene. he was near death, too. I just about had him, and then I died. Because I was by myself. I couldn't have any of my companions with me. You know,
right.
That whole section where you can't, you have to do it all by yourself.
Did you answer all the questions right underneath the castle?
Oh, yes. I only missed two. I only missed two.
Oh, then you didn't answer them all correctly. I missed one.
I only missed two.
I missed one, and I still to this day have never gotten it right.
Which one is that?
I should look it up someday. Oh, what was it? Something about maps.
Was it the one
where,
about
where
how many?
Where do you find maps? If you want to find maps or something, and I never could figure out where the heck it was.
I got that one right.
I didn't. And I had to fight those big old lunky things.
Those big old lunky? Oh, yeah.
The Guardians. The Guardians.
Yes.
Yes.
Those were
actually
easy for me, the Guardians, for some reason.
Yeah, they weren't difficult. They weren't that bad.
But anyway, after I died, I went through the cutscene that seemed like it lasted for 2 hours, but it probably was 20 minutes. But anyway, And then now I'm back at the keep.
That's where okay.
That's where I saved. And now I have to go.
It means it's time for you to find alliances.
Yes, I have to go do all the alliances. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a fun one.
Fun stuff.
When you go to find alliances, and one in particular, take a lot of heal potions.
No, really?
Yes. Or make sure that you have somebody who can heal a lot.
Yeah. Actually, I did that whole set where I was by myself with only two heal packs.
Ooh, nice. I had like eight.
Because I ran out. I had two heal packs, and then I ran out of those two, and I went, oh, crap, I have nothing to heal myself. And I was still, I hadn't got to the end yet. And then I realized if I throw aid on myself, I regenerate slowly.
Right.
So I just kept using that. Well, I didn't realize that's what aid did to you. Kind of stumbled across it.
So what is our main interview for this week?
Oh, we got a good one. Our main interview for this week is Kaveen from theshadowthieves.net. They also run the Gallowsburg Persistent World for Neverwinter Nights 1.
Mm-hmm.
You will find out in the interview that they are working on Gallowsburg 2 for Neverwinter Nights 2. And actually, after the interview, he gave me the password so I can go try it out myself.
Oh, you're special.
They have it all locked down because they're doing testing.
Right. That should be a good interview. I'm looking forward to hearing it.
Probably after we get done, I'm going to go try that out. But that's Kaveen over at theshadowthieves.net. And now, without further ado, here's... further ado. You like that, don't you?
I love it.
We now have the great Kaveen. This episode we have with us Grandmaster Kaveen. He is the leader and CEO of the Shadow Thieves and the Gallowsburg Persistent Worlds for Neverwinter Nights 1 and soon Neverwinter Nights 2. Kaveen is renowned in the NWN community as an excellent player, dungeon master, custom content builder, scripter, server admin, and module designer writer. He is also a community representative for Obsidian and Neverwinter Nights 2. Welcome, Kaveen. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
So why don't you start out and tell us a little bit about yourself and your work, your play, anything you want to let us know?
Yeah, well, I work in finance, and it's a pretty demanding job. I think we were talking a little bit about this before we started. Got to go back to work after this interview today on Saturday. How's that?
Oh, no.
But, yeah, I try and find as much time as I can for gaming and fun things. I'd say definitely my number one hobby is Neverwinter Nights, both 1 and 2. And running the persistent world, DMing, stuff like that. That's my favorite stuff to do. There's some other things I like to do. I like strategy games as well. So, some of the other RPGs are fun as well.
Cool. Excellent. So how did you get the idea for the Shadows Thieves and the Gallowsburg world?
Well, let's see. It was, a little over 5 years ago when, BioWare had opened up their guild site and, I had always been a fan of the rogue, you know, playing the thief and playing that type of storyline, being kind of sneaky and trying to get around problems as opposed to kind of like hack and slash running into them.
Right.
And so that was my play style. That was my DM style from pen and paper gaming, Dungeons and Dragons. And I thought, you know, why not create a guild that's focused on rogues and what rogues really need. So I created this guild, and eventually we got up to 500 members.
Wow.
Of Neverwinter Nights players. It was all Neverwinter Nights 1 at that time. Uh-huh. And yeah, tons of people. We all were sharing ideas for how to play our rogues best, role-playing together, kind of with, you know, intriguing kinds of settings. So it was a lot of fun. I really loved, you know, creating that guild and kind of fostering it and making that happen.
So was that the first rogues guild for Neverwinter?
Yeah, as far as I know, I don't think any other guilds really got off the ground like that. I think, you know, as well, I think of all the large guilds in the whole BioWare system, the guild system, that was really the only one that was focused on something other than a persistent world. I think most of the other guilds were, were all the players for a particular world plus the DMs and doing their storylines and things like that. We were focused on the rogue. So we didn't start as a persistent world. We started as fans of the rogue class. So we would run through some sessions on weekends, and it was so much fun. I think a couple guys, who were kind of our head DMs at one point. There was no, you ain't gonna kill me was one guy's name, and then Anjin was another guy. It was so much fun. And we were playing like rogue type adventures, and we'd go out, you know, We're trying to solve quests, but we're doing it like in a rogue style. So we're kind of sneaking our way through things and being really clever, you know, breaking in through, you know, the back door and disabling all the traps and sneaking in. So that was so much fun. And that was exactly what our guild was about. So, eventually, Anjin, who I mentioned, he actually had created a whole world. He called it Gallowsburg. And it was a small world, you know, maybe 50 areas or something. It was his city of Manorus. Uh-huh. And so we were running through adventures in that city when he would DM for us. And, you know, we got to thinking, you know, well, why don't we make this into a persistent world? You know, we've already got the base. We've got this city. A lot of people in our guild. I mean, it was a large guild, so we had a lot of really talented people.
Right.
We thought, why not come together and make this into a persistent world? And, we did, and that's where Gallowsburg came from.
Cool. So the main city, like you said, is Manorus.
Right.
And so what does Gallowsburg mean? Does that have any meaning, or was that just a name that Anjin picked out? Or
it was a name that he picked out. He told me, actually, the story of why he had created Manorus in the first place. And when he was playing Dungeons & Dragons in pen and paper, he had asked his DM, okay, can we make a thieves guild? And his DM probably wasn't such a fan of rogues, you know, so he wouldn't let it happen. So when Anjin had the tool set, he created the whole world exactly like he thought it should be, how rogues would love it. And there's this secret language that you may have heard of, thieves cant. It's the language of thieves.
Right.
And in our persistent world, we have a whole dictionary of all the words that you can use. So thieves can kind of talk out on the street. You know, in public, they can talk about, okay, we're going to go rob this house tonight, but they can do it in their secret thieves language and nobody can catch it. There's a word in that language called gallowsbird. And gallowsbird means a thief or a pickpocket. And another way to look at it is a gallowsbird is somebody. You know, they used to send thieves to the gallows. They'd hang them. That's right. Their punishment. So that's sort of what a gallows bird is. It's kind of someone who's trying to stay away from the gallows, trying to avoid the gallows, doing his thing.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I have also noticed playing on Gallowsburg, other people chatting in different languages as well, like elf language and things like that as well. So.
Yeah, that's some of the awesome custom content systems that we've got for Neverwinter Nights. You can speak in a different language. It's awesome.
So who were the original team that helped you build the Persistent World, and how long did that take? You mentioned Anjin.
Yeah, definitely. Anjin would definitely be the father of the world. He definitely started that out probably, I'm thinking around 50 areas was the core of the Manorus city.
Wow.
It was around, if I remember correctly, it was November 2003, I think is when we went online with our world. So that's about 4 years ago when we had felt like it was good enough to have online and people could play in it. and then kind of testing it. And then it was something like May of 2004, I think, when we took the password off of it and let anybody come into it. And that's really when it boomed as a really fun world for people to play. The team that we started with, some of the leaders, I mentioned Anjin, there's Shade, who's also an administrator for the guild and for the world. And then there was Sep and a couple of our major DMs that have made some amazing contributions over the years is Schrodinger's Cat, who has made probably hundreds of the areas that are in there now. DM Shadowfax, he's actually running a campaign right now.
Uh-huh.
And it's a weekly campaign. The same players are still doing it, and it's been going over a year. It's such an amazing story, and I've learned a ton from just watching his adventures. So
the cat guy, Shatter's Cat, I guess he just recently came back, didn't he?
Yeah. Actually, she is. She was working pretty hard with real life for a while there, but is checking back in. So we're really happy to see her back. A couple of the other, you know, real long term, actually members from the Shadow Thieves Guild who have moved on into the Gallowsburg world, Griffin Mather and Anubis are a couple of our, you know, other real loyal DMs.
So what makes GB unique and stand out from the crowd? You actually have a reputation system that no one else has, correct?
That's right. We talked a little bit about that when we were doing our after session wrap up a couple of podcasts ago.
Yep.
But there's several things that we have. You know, I think every persistent world needs to have some things that make it unique. You can't all be the exact same stuff, or nobody's really going to find it intriguing. But I think the first thing that makes GB unique is it's for rogues. Clearly, it was built for rogues. It was built by rogues, and there's so much to do for rogues. So you almost end up with half of the players have at least one level in rogue.
Right.
You know, so they can do some of the fun stuff. You know, so on that topic, I mean, I think there's the rogues that they get experience points for. You know, picking locks and disarming traps. You even get experience points if you sneak past certain situations instead of, like, just attacking. You can get experience points by doing that. Lots of quests and lots of storylines. So definitely it's rogue-focused. A couple other things. You mentioned the reputation system. That's something really important, I think, especially for a rogue world, is as a rogue you're going to develop a reputation. And you're going to... People are going to know you as doing certain acts or being good at doing certain things. So you can maybe you're known as a good pickpocket. Somebody needs a pickpocket, they come to you. Somebody needs somebody who can get past traps or open locks, they come to you because you have that reputation. Mm-hmm. So that's something that's really added a lot to the role playing. A couple other things. We have persistent traps. I think a lot of worlds have tried to do that. I think we made a pretty amazing system of persistent traps. The traps, they stay there. If you disarm them, they're still there, but you can go past them for a while until they rearm themselves. And that's really good for a persistent world, because if you have traps that all get disarmed by somebody, then the next person to come through the area, well, there's no traps left, right?
Right, exactly.
No fun. So these traps are persistent. They come back after a while, and then
after a server reset, or just after a certain amount of time.
A certain amount of time, actually.
Oh, okay.
So you server can stay online for a long time, and people can continue to do the same area adventures. Did you ever watch the introductory cutscene?
Yes, I did. It's been a while since I watched it, but yes, I did watch it.
That's something I think gives a real good feel for the world, and I'm not really aware of any other, worlds that have kind of a cutscene like that.
Yeah, I remember that. It like walks you through, I think, most of the city and kind of gives you a little story and background, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was very interesting. I'd never actually seen anything like that for Never Nights 1, of course.
Right. You know, it's a low magic world. You're not going to find like +8 long swords and things like that, and it's a low-level world, so you're not going to get to like level 40 in a week.
Right.
But the whole entire world is balanced around that. So low level, low magic, high role playing.
Yeah.
It's a good way to.
I think my Ashrakhan character is only like level 7 at the moment. So.
Yeah.
Which is, I've been playing for a while.
That's right.
I try to get on every once in a while. I've explored around. I actually created another character called Sinjin Black.
Uh-huh.
I made him a rogue, And so I've been trying out the rogue aspect because I usually play like as a fighter or something like that. So
yeah, you got to try out that rogue. Yeah, tons of fun.
Galesburg is 5 years old this month, correct?
That's right. We're I guess it's I think it's actually September we reached our 5 year anniversary, but we're celebrating it that in October into November. It's worth a couple months, right?
Yeah, exactly. So what are some things you're doing to celebrate?
Yeah, it's a 5 year anniversary. We're I think on our first weekend of gaming, we give out some party favors, some little bonus items, and give some stat bonuses and things like that, just for, you know, player loyalty. I thought that was really fun. Uh-huh. We announced a couple new DMs to our team, and they've been doing excellent work and making the game a lot more fun for all the players. We've already had several special events. I think you were in one of them, and I think you had to end up leaving through half of it. But
yeah. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's cool. They're real fun, and these are the world-changing events because since we're kind of transitioning the world to the Neverwinter Nights 2 world, the world is changing, and there's some significant things happening there. So we're having events for these last couple months, you know, that really make it a big difference in the world. And we've announced a couple new stories, history of the Athelandar world, uh-huh. and some things that kind of hint about, well, one of them is a hint about where life began on the entire world of Toril, which is Forgotten Realms. So we've got some hints about where all life came from, and it might have been on Athelandar. Who knows?
So that story is going to lead us into the Galesburg 2 world. Is that correct? Is that how I understand it?
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of the things, like you've experienced some of these things in your gaming, the attacks upon the city with right. the goblin armies, the Galesburg 2 world is going to have remnants of that in the world.
Excellent.
From that event.
I'm still working through those chat logs from that Saturday, so hopefully I'll have those posted pretty soon. I'm going to try to put it like in a story format this time instead of just
awesome.
Just copying it out there. So I have been working on that.
Excellent.
So how is, speaking of GB2 for Neverwinter Nights 2, how's that going? Is it coming along?
It's coming along. It's coming along slowly. A lot of your guests on the podcast have talked about this as well, that, you know, Neverwinter Nights 2 takes a lot more effort to build the areas.
Mm-hmm. And, that's what we're hearing.
Yeah, it's a lot more complex, and we're experiencing the same thing, but we're working through it. So it's coming along. It's coming along slowly. I think we'd like to have our team be a little bit bigger than it is. We need more builders to join the team. But we're making progress, and one of our main builders actually on Galesburg 2 so far, Jala, has been doing some awesome areas. Just really has some excellent talent, so we're really great. It's really great to have her on the team.
Yeah, I've been kind of following those discussions of y'all talking about building some of those areas. It sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's a real, real serious power that, you know, some of the systems that Neverwinter Nights 2 has that Neverwinter Nights 1 didn't have, you can really customize some amazing things. But again, it takes a lot of time to put all this together, so
I think everybody's looking forward to that. So actually yesterday, Halloween Foxy got on Instant Messenger and was saying that she had been playing through a little bit of Galesburg 2 and thought it was amazing, she said.
Yeah. She had some great comments, too.
Yeah, she said it was like I guess the city that y'all have created there in Galesburg 2 is like a huge maze, almost like, is what she was telling me. That's what she was telling me, so I'll have to get on there and check it out.
Yeah, I'll have to give you access to the password.
Oh, that's true. Okay, so there's a password? Okay.
Yeah, it's in testing right now. We don't want the whole world to see it in its, you know, infant stages. But.
Right, understood. As we just mentioned, we here on the podcast have had the chance to participate in some of the many DM-led events that you've been running lately. It's been quite fun. Can you tell us how these events and others will affect Galesburg and Galesburg 2? Yet?
I can tell you, and I'm going to reveal some secrets for you right here.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, there's only a few people who know a couple of these things, but you actually in the event we did a couple weeks ago that you were kind of hanging out for, it's in your chat log, so check it out.
Yeah.
There was this group of Nooni. Nooni is sort of a tribe in our, kind of a nomad tribe in our gaming world.
Right.
The Nooni priests had cast this spell, and they had used shadow magic to cast this spell that had opened up an earthquake outside the caravan ward that had enveloped the goblin army that was out there.
Oh, cool.
So that entire army, that was actually the army you guys were fighting a few sessions back.
Right, yes, I remember that.
That army's dead. They got dropped
down.
So
they fell into the earthquake.
Right. Cool. And it was such a powerful earthquake that it has opened this huge chasm along the entire road that was out there, the entire caravan road. It's gone now. And so all the players who were there know that much.
Right.
They don't know is that chasm is getting filled in with water right now from the ocean. And that water is going to pour into the city and cause some major flooding through.
Wow.
Probably about half the city is going to be flooded now. So that's one thing, one secret that's about to happen. You know about all the casualties. A lot of people died in the war and in the attacks. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the city was damaged. So that's going to be a lasting effect. And then finally, the farmlands out to the east where all the goblins had been coming from,
right.
When their army got called off, and I'll let you read through your logs to figure out why the army got called off.
Okay.
They didn't have any leadership. They didn't know where to go. So they set up camp in the farmlands. So you got this big, huge city of Manorus, and they used to get all their food from these farmlands, but now there's goblins all over the farmlands. So where's the city going to get its food from now?
Right.
I'll leave that as a question.
Interesting. This is cool.
Yeah.
I like it. So speaking of that it might have went 6 hours event that went on called the Reinforcements was the last one that I got to say for about an hour, hour and a half. That was our fifth event, I believe. Tell us a little bit about how you prepared for that event.
Well, the preparation, I think, for these particular events was started probably at least 6 months ago, maybe 12 months ago.
Oh, wow.
We had some of these determinations of the storyline already determined, like the flooding. We knew the flooding was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So we had determined part of this, but the actions of the players was really going to drive things and see how the actual event went. To some extent, we know the underlying story. We know what has to happen for these huge five-hour events, but we can't really plan it all. We can't be prepared for all of it.
Right.
Some of the things we prepared were had some creatures created for the module that would be ready to be placed for some of the events. We had some items ready, but generally we have the world is there. All the areas are there,
right.
So we kind of just use that as our palette to tell our story.
Excellent.
I would also say for the five-hour event, I had two other great DMs with me to help out. So it wasn't just me doing this, but
yeah. The DM Nightmare was helping you? The new DM?
Nightmare was helping, and then we had another our brand new DM, can't say his name correctly, Lomalind Haru, I think.
He was the one running around as a penguin at the beginning. Is that correct?
Yeah, maybe.
So
5 hour event. It's hard, but I think it's a lot of fun, and we get players spend your entire Saturday playing the game, and we all love it. We love doing those things.
Actually, I got back at about 6 o'clock that night, after Emily's karate tournament, and. I got back on, and I think y'all were just wrapping up, just finishing. I think you had just left. But anyway, I think Kara, the one who plays an elf, who was the one who went to get the Nirali army or whatever?
Yeah, the Nooni army, right.
Nooni. I can't pronounce that.
Nooni.
Nooni. Okay.
She was still on, so we got to talking, and she was heading somewhere, and so I asked if I could come along and help her, and then a couple of other elves of hers joined us. I can't remember their names. But anyway, I think DM Schroeder was on at the time. Schroeder Cat, is that how you say her name?
Schrodinger, yep.
Yeah, Schrodinger. She came on and kind of created a little mini event for us where we followed these pygmies into the woods. And they wanted,
yeah.
And they wanted us to kill the big wood.
And I was actually there watching.
Oh, were you? Oh.
Yeah, I saw the whole thing.
Oh, okay. So that was kind of fun.
The event went past 6 hours, probably more like 8.
Yeah. Okay, so you were still on watching that?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Kind of tired by then, so I didn't participate.
Yeah. It didn't turn out too well at the end. Anyway, that was fun, though.
Yeah. You know, that's actually one of the things I really love about a persistent world and DMing with all these other DMs, and it's like the whole team. You know, if you're just one DM running your own campaign, it's just you. You don't have anybody to learn from. You got to do it all yourself. Uh-huh. But when you have this awesome team, like Galsbert isn't me. I mean, Galsbert is like 100 great DMs and player moderators and everybody who come together and make this community. And that's what's so fun about it. I love it. I've learned so much, like, to be a better DM just from some of the DMs we work with. So that's really the awesome thing about a persistent world is the team. You all work together for it.
And I will say I've learned quite a bit just on how to role play better too from participating in your world.
Awesome. Actually, I heard some stories. Actually, one of our DMs told me he had never role played before he joined Galsbert. And
oh, really?
And he learned to role play there. He was a great player, a great role player, and worked his way up and became one of our star DMs. So I think that's pretty awesome.
Well, the first role playing session I ever did was actually with Bruce Nelson on one of his worlds. And then I played on Sundren for a little bit until they locked it down and you only let certain people in.
Right.
Won't go into that.
They won't let you in anymore.
They won't let me in. They didn't like my story. I guess, they didn't like the story that I I submitted for AsherCon, and they didn't let me in. Anyway, and that's about when we started playing on your world. So
yeah.
So it's been interesting. So Kaveen, I know just from the stories and plots that I've seen so far in these events, I can tell that you're a storyteller. Is that what you enjoy the most? Is telling stories?
Yeah, I think that's certainly one of the things I enjoy. You know, I've always read a lot of books, a lot of fantasy books, and since I was a little kid. So that's definitely what I appreciate. I really enjoy probably an event when there's an underlying story to it, a meaning to it, a reason for doing all of it. As opposed to something that's just hack and slash, you killed everything, you saved the princess, and end of the story. If there's more to it, if there's like an underlying meaning or a twist to the story, I just find that so much more fulfilling and intriguing. So I think, you know, all the adventures I do, there needs to be this story for me, to bring the story to the players for them to reveal it piece by piece slowly and get to the right point in the story where, you know, everything starts to fall apart and then eventually, you know, you've got your heroes coming together at the end. So, story is really important. And I think you really can't have as fulfilling of an experience without a real good story.
Cool. Excellent. Okay, change gears a little bit here. You're also a community representative for Obsidian and Neverwhere Nights 2. So what does that all involve? Does that take quite a bit of your time?
Yeah, I think initially when the community rep program was first started, it took a lot more time than it does these days. Basically, it involves kind of sorting through all the bugs and the requests that the community, you know, kind of brings to light. You know, there's so many posts in the forums that we try to sift through all those and find all the find all the most important kinds of things that Obsidian needs to work on. So we'll sift through all the requests, we'll prioritize them, and then we'll communicate those to the developers so that they know what the community wants. So that's really what we're doing, is we're representing the community, is here's all the things the community has asked for, and then we kind of synthesize that into a smaller list, a concise list, and we tell the developers, here's what we want. And hopefully, you know, the developers are always watching that, and with the upcoming patches and things, they're actually doing those things. I've definitely seen evidence that the most important things we bring to the attention, particularly Rob McGinnis, he's the main developer that we talked to at Obsidian, right, that those things are slowly being taken care of, not as fast as any of us want, but they are listening, and as we ask for things, they know what we want, and they know what we want and need the most. So, I mean, I have to applaud Obsidian for making the whole program in the first place, because, you know, they are really listening. They're not just kind of randomly going through the forums and, okay, somebody asked for this, let's put it in. They've gotten kind of us, who have had a lot of experience with the community, to be able to synthesize and get the right things together and get a good summary for them and for them to focus on those things. So, you know, I think it's a really a boon to the community for that.
That is an excellent idea, because there's just so much stuff out there. There would be no way they could keep track of everything unless they had, you know, a group of people like you guys bringing it all together. So
yeah, absolutely.
So I know you mentioned earlier that you were needing help with Galesburg 2. So you're looking for people to join your team. What kind of people are you looking for, and how should they contact you?
Well, we're even for Neverwinter Nights 1, we're always looking for new players, new DMs, anybody who wants to join our forums, join playing in the world, and you'll have a lot of fun. Neverwinter 2, though, in particular, we need help with builders, scripters, people with ideas, and DMs who want to see their vision fulfilled, to join our team. And I think we have a really open team, a really awesome team, with a lot of talent. And I think if you're a DM who really likes to role play and who can fit into sort of a lower magic, lower level type of world, we have an excellent team. And if you can work with other people, I think you'd be well served to kind of, you know, look for a team to join. I think our team is open and looking for you as well. I also was actually thinking of announcing a sort of a program that we're going to put together.
Uh-huh.
For DMs. I think you've talked in some of your earlier podcasts about how hard it is for DMs to run their own, you know, just one-shot campaigns.
Right.
It's so hard to build all the areas, and if you're just one DM, you can't do it all by yourself. So we're looking to really expand, for Galesburg 2, our DM team. And if there are DMs out there who are experienced DMs, good role players, but you can't do it all yourself, we're looking to kind of expand our team, and you can join the team that are going to build this whole world. It'll be your base setting, and then you as a DM, you can build a couple extra areas that you need, but you're not going to have to worry about the systems and the scripting and the base world that you play in. That's all going to be built sort of as part of the base world, but then you as a DM can take it to the next step and add your areas and add your storyline on top of a world that already exists. So we're looking over the next couple months to kind of have a couple meetings to that effect and see if there's any DMs who want to join our team. So I guess if you're interested, I mean, if you're looking to join the team and you're looking to really get into Neverwinter Nights 2, you can contact me. My email is kaveen@shadowthieves.net. That's KHAVEEN at shadowthieves.net. And or you can go to our forums, which are at www.shadowthieves.net/forum, and check us out and start the dialogue going. We'd love to have more people join our team. And I think it'll be, like I said, I think a large team for a persistent world is awesome, and I think everybody benefits from that.
Excellent, excellent. I know I've been on the forum for a while now, kind of keeping track of how things are going, and I don't really post a lot, but I do. I am on there reading quite a bit, trying to learn everything that's going on. So very cool, very cool.
Yeah.
I guess last question. So what are your thoughts on the whole Nevermore Nights community? Where do you see it going? I always like to ask that last question.
That is the hardest question
of all my interviews. So,
well, okay, these are my opinions, and they don't reflect anybody else's opinions or whatever. I think that the Neverwinter Nights 1 community is very mature. It's a very mature community, a lot of custom content, a lot of worlds that are already out there, and I think the Neverwinter Nights 1 kind of side of things, all those servers. That's going to be around, I think, for probably 5 or 10 more years. I think, you know, people are going to continue to run those worlds and have a lot of fun in them. And they've really built strong attachments to the communities that they're a part of. Mm-hmm. And I don't see that going away. So I think we have a long future. And then kind of thinking more towards the Neverwinter Nights 2, I think that we need to continue to have a flow of patches and a flow of adventure packs and a flow of expansions, because there are some things in the game that need to be improved and need to continue to evolve, from making custom content easier to making persistent worlds easier, to making just multiplayer gaming easier in general. I think that there's some more work that needs to be done. So if we see a flow of patches that continue to come, that's going to be a sign that Neverwinter Nights community is going to continue to grow and mature and get more custom content and be easier to play for multiplayer. So, you know, we've definitely over the last year seen a lot of patches and a lot of another expansion pack, an adventure pack. So we're on the right track. So as long as that continues, Neverwinter Nights 2 could last the next 10 years as well.
Right,
and it'll be awesome.
I guess the newest, they just released a new adventure pack just this past week, right?
Right. Mysteries of Westgate, is that what it was? I'm not sure they released it. Did they just announce it?
But announced it? Okay.
It's developed by Ossian Studios. They have one of the BioWare developers, an old BioWare developer, actually heads that up. So it's got to expect that's going to be some quality work.
Excellent, excellent. Well, Kaveen, I really thank you and appreciate you taking the time to take an hour or so out of your Saturday and your precious time to talk with me, and I know all of our listeners are going to enjoy it.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate your invitation to do this. It's awesome.
Anything else you want to let the listeners know about before we sign off?
I just invite everybody to check out ShadowThieves.net, see what we're all about, and continue to be involved in the community and whatever you choose to do, because the future of our community is you. You are the community. So just find a way to participate and make it better for all of us.
Excellent. Thank you, Kaveen.
Cool. All right. Well, I'll see you in game.
All right. Take it easy.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you have enjoyed the show and would like to help out, we recommend clicking on the PayPal donate link or our website, placing a few gold pieces into the coffers. Oh, we did a whole thing on that whole coffers thing.
We got some comments too. Did you see those?
Yes, I did.
And watch out for those coffers. You spelled it COUGH, like you cough.
We'll go a long way supporting our efforts.
J. Clef. How about the coffers?
Oh, that's Jason Roy.
Oh, it is? Oh,
yes. Okay.
He said, thanks for another one, guys. NWM Podcast is the disco.
That sounds like Jason.
He goes, watch out for them coffers.
For our next episode, we will be interviewing Enoa 4, who has done several modules in Neverwinter Nights 2 and 1, including multiplayer modules, and I'm looking forward to doing the interview.
Does he have a real name?
Ernie.
Oh, that's right. I knew that.
Yeah. He's got a blog, and we'll put all that on the show notes.
What world does he have? Because I think we played it once.
Keep on the Borderlands. That is the multiplayer he has for Neverwinter Nights 2. Oh, gosh. You know, I
Keep on the Borderlands? Okay.
That Keep wasn't on the Borderlands.
One. Okay, that wasn't the one I was thinking of. I apologize.
But I'm looking forward to the interview, and he seems really excited to do it.
Cool.
If you have any comments or questions, you can contact us at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com or...
or you can leave us an audio comment or question via Skype by calling NWN Podcast, all one word.
So until next week, get in game.
And level up.
And level up.
And level up.
The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, or their partners and employees. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of These Old Geeks, which is solely responsible for its content.
Yeah!
Guess I'll live.
Hey, Trey, are you here? Oh, thanks a lot.
So you go first, and then you lead into everything. Right?
No.
Go.
Not now.
You go first. You see it. You go first. You're going to be the actual host this week.
Oh, thanks a lot.
So you go first, and then you lead into everything. Right?
No.
Go.
Not now.
Hello, and I'm Trey, a.k.a. Ash. Okay. Okay. All right, go ahead. Since you're the host, you get to start off the rest of it.
Yeah, you suck.